Hey, good morning. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. Welcome to everyone in the room and everyone worshiping with us online. It's good to be with you all. You already got the memo here in the room. Would you stand and join in singing as we praise God this morning? Let's sing together. We sing these songs of worship and praise, center ourselves on who He is, His goodness toward us. Let's sing them out. Sing a new song. This one was written by our downtown worship leader, Trevor Kleinmeier. So just get, as you get the hang of it, feel free to sing along with this one. And use this to praise and worship God for who he is, being reminded of some of the things that are true about us. Let's try to sing this one together.
You're the God who covers every sin.
As we continue in worship, it's great to sing these big songs of praise and worship. They cast like this big picture of who God is, right, as we sing these big energetic songs. In my own life, right, we can't just like constantly have worship music like that blaring even as we go through the ins and outs of daily life. So for me, something that's been helpful to just be able to worship and praise God in my own life in the quieter moments of the day is this practice of gratitude or thankfulness. That in the highs, of course, there's things to praise God for, but even in the lows, even in a hard, stressful week, there's opportunities just to pause and say, God, thank you for this thing, or thank you for that thing. As a reminder, even in those harder moments of his goodness toward us and his faithfulness. And so that's what this song is about. It's a familiar one, but it's an opportunity to give him gratitude and thanks. And sometimes that's all we can muster up, right, is to barely get our hands up and barely choose these things to be grateful for. But let's worship him with grateful hearts as we sing this together. Michaela will lead us. Let's sing, All My Words Fall Short.
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end.
Part's my favorite. We just get to sing it nice and loud as if to encourage ourselves to choose this kind of gratitude and praise. Let's sing it out. Come on, my soul.
Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your
So God, we come with thankful and grateful hearts this morning that regardless of what the week has looked like, that we get to come and we get to be here among your people in this place where we just get to sing these songs of worship and praise to you, and this place where we can encounter you. And so God, whatever the week has been like, whether it's been high or low, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness toward us. And as we meet together, as we hear from your word this morning, as we sing more songs, God, would you remind us of your goodness and your faithfulness toward us? Would you help us to experience you? We don't just want to show up to sing songs, to check church off the list, to come and to do the church thing. But God, we long to meet with you, to hear from you, to experience your presence, to experience you changing and transforming us, even these deepest parts about us that feels like there's no way that thing could ever change. But God, you long to change and transform us completely. And so would you continue that work this morning? We love you. We come expectantly to you this morning. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Everyone said together, amen.
All right. Well, good morning. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. My name is Joel. If we haven't met yet, it's so good to see all of you here in the room. Why don't you go ahead and grab your seats? If you're joining us online, welcome. So glad to be worshiping with you today. Here in Wisconsin, we're getting some unseasonably warm weather, which is awesome. So if you're in the live chat and prayer, just let us know where you're watching from and what kind of weather you're experiencing right now as you're joining us online. All right. Well, I want to just let you know, one thing that's going on in our multicultural ministry this week, we have a gathering. If you are African and you're living here in Madison, you're part of our Black Hawk community, we have an African social gathering that's happening today at noon. We've been talking about it the last couple of weeks, but not a big deal. If you've missed it, you didn't register, you didn't bring something for the potluck, don't worry about it. We'd love for you to just get to meet others who are African and part of our community. So just show up. We'd love to have you there today at noon. All right, and then over the last few weeks, we've been talking quite a bit about Project Tech. And so I just want to give us an update today on that. Last week, Charles said, Project Tech is mission critical for us. And we believe that we need to address some of the aging infrastructure things that are taking place, especially here at our Braidaway site, in order to accomplish our mission well for the next 10 plus years. And so our building was built when the first iPhone came out, you guys, all right? So a lot of technology has changed in the 17 years since. And so that's a major part of what this project is about. But as we do that, as we update some of the infrastructure, we also see some opportunities for how we might be able to minister in the future. And some of those include streaming outside of just this room. Right now, we're kind of just set up to live stream from here. And Matt talked about baptism services, which are amazing. We see lots of God stories of what he's been doing in people's lives. We can't really share those from the Westside Auditorium across the hall here at our Braidaway site. And so we want to be able to do that. We held an African-American Council of Churches Good Friday service last year. It was over in that room, and we couldn't share that out with others who are in our community and wanted to be part of that. So things like that, things like weddings and funerals, we get asked all the time to be able to stream weddings and funerals for people who can't make it from different parts of the country. And that would apply both here in different auditoriums as well as our Fitchburg site. We just can't stream from other locations other than right here. And so we'd be able to address that as we do the updates and infrastructure. Another thing we're talking about is we want to welcome families well. And in doing that, we want to make sure that they feel safe as they drop their kids off. And so one aspect of the project is to be able to put security cameras in each of the rooms for B Kids spaces. And so if you're a parent, you kind of get parent with little kids, you kind of get that. And then we want to be able to offer some real-time translation solutions and hearing-impaired solutions that we can't currently offer. And some of the technology is changing right now. It's kind of actually crazy how much is changing right now in that solutions are coming out as we speak. And so as we go forward, we're thinking about what are ways that we can invite people to be able to worship with us who currently can't because of a language barrier or because of a hearing impairment. And so we're excited to be able to address a few of those things as we do a big update to our infrastructure. So as you imagine, this stuff costs money. And so we've targeted $3.5 million as what it would take to do all of that kind of to be able to touch all of those different aspects of the project. And so we're asking you to make your intentions next Sunday. Next Sunday is Spring Forward Sunday, but we also want that to be Intention Sunday for us, all right? Would you consider making an intention to Project Tech by next Sunday, March 10th? Now, here's why that matters. Right now, we're in a design process with an integrator. That's a company that's working with us to identify the things we need to do and the scope of the project, what we're going to be able to do. And so we've identified that $3.5 million target with them, but we're going to come to the end of a design phase here soon where they're going to go, hey, you have all the design you need to be able to do what you need to do. What we're going to then do is we're going to move into an implementation step in the process. To be able to do that in the next several weeks, we need to know how much are we working with in order to sign a contract for what we can implement, what we can actually accomplish from this project. And if we don't hear from you on your intentions, we'll kind of be shooting in the dark on what we're actually able to do. And so it would help us a ton if you could make your intentions by next Sunday, March 10th. My wife and I, we made our intention, and then we're giving recurring monthly gifts in order to reach that intention. So your intention is simply your plan for what you can give between now and June of 2025. So a little over a year of what you're able to give. And so we made that plan, and then we are giving monthly and a recurring gift online to be able to reach that intention. That might be the way you want to do it. That might be, some of you might want to do like a one-time gift. That's totally great. But whatever it is, there's lots of different ways to give. We would love for you to make your intention as the first step in that process so we know how we can plan towards the next phase. So by way of update, a couple things I can show you right at this point. Our target is $3.5 million. That's what we're shooting for. You can see here, we have about $1.25 million in intentions. So that's awesome, you guys. Thank you to all of you who have already made intentions to make that happen. We have another $179K that has come in of people who have given without intentions. So that's fantastic. We have about between 1.4 and 1.5 million that's already been committed to this project. So we're close to 40% of the way there, which is awesome. The next graphic is households. Now, a household is kind of a way to measure a giving unit. So my wife and I and our family, we give together, so we count as a household. If you're single, an individual, you would count as a household. If you're a couple, you're a household. But it's just a way to kind of measure a giving unit around the life of our church. We have about 417 households that are in Project Tech with us already, and that's fantastic. Again, thank you. We think it'll take about 1,000 more households being in the game in order to make this happen. So this one I like to think of as representing teamwork, all right? This is all of us pulling hard in the same direction together. If we accomplish that households number, we think it'll be no problem to reach the 3.5 million that we're trying to reach. And so you might be sitting there going, man, I don't really have a lot of money. I don't think I can give much. That's okay. You making an intention shows us that you're in with us. You want to be part of what the future looks like as God leads us into whatever is to come. And so would you make an intention, even if it's something simple, something easy? You might be a college student. You're going, I got not much to give. Make a tiny intention, and that's fine, but you're showing I'm part of it, and I want to be part of what God is doing here. So you can learn more at our Project Tech page. That's blackhawk.church/project-tech. You can start your intention. You can start giving right there. We would love for you to consider how you might be part of what God is doing here. So thanks for considering that. All right, well, I'm going to hand it off as we're into our James series. I'm going to hand it off to Pastor Chris for today's message.
Welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris, and I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk Church. Welcome to all of you who are joining us online. Those of you who are at Blackhawk Fitchburg, those of you who are at Blackhawk downtown, those of you who are in this room with me right here, or maybe you're at one of the other venues here at the Brader Wayside Gospel Fusion or Traditions. And those of you who are Mandarin speaking, Dijong Zime Ping An, Spanish speakers, bienvenidos a Blackhawk. Hey, before I start the talk, I want to give a special shout out to all of those people that are at Blackhawk Fitchburg right now, because today, March the 3rd, marks the 11th anniversary of Black Hawk Fitchburg being launched. On March 3rd, 2013, we launched it at Savannah Oaks Middle School. So they are 11 years old. Let's all sites and venues give them a big hand right now. Awesome, you guys. Awesome. All right, way to go, Pastor Daniel Owen and his team. They work hard. We love you guys. That is a great, great sight. Well, hey, to begin today's talk, I'd like us to think about a word that's a very familiar word in our world today. And it's this word right here. What comes into your mind when you hear the word or see the word religion? Religion. So some of us might have, right, well, it's kind of like what we're doing right now. I mean, like, you know, I've come to church, and you just identified yourself as a pastor, so I'm listening to you, so like, this is kind of like doing religion right now. Hey, I'm a Christian, I'm kind of, so some of us might think of the different kinds of faith systems, like Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, or something like Christianity, we might think of one of those kind of things. What comes to your mind when you hear the word religion? Some of us, it might be super negative. It might be, you know what? I kind of don't like to think about me being religious. I like to think about myself having a relationship with God. Religion's kind of bad. Relationship is better. So some of you might be that way. Some might be very negative and say, you know, religion, isn't that the cause of like most of the world problems today? I mean, isn't that really the root behind what's going on with Israel and Hamas? I mean, isn't that a religious conflict? So some of us might really think negatively that way. So the question is, what comes into your mind when you hear the word religion? Honestly, some of us might actually think of true religion, which is actually a manufacturer of genes and stuff like that. And you'll notice immediately that I am not practicing true religion. I have Levi's on right now that I got at Kohl's. So I'm just the old guy on the cool pastor. Matt, Pastor Matt is, and Pastor Coley, they're cool pastors. And then there's Charles and me. So you gotta put up with that. My point here is that whatever comes into your mind when someone says religion, I would bet a funny amount of money. It's not what came into James's mind when he talked about religion. So what came into your mind? Okay, now this is what comes into James's mind when he thinks about religion. Those who consider themselves religious, thraisikos, and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion, thraiskia, is worthless. Religion, thraiskia, that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. When I said the word religion, did you say, oh yes, that's about taking care of people who are in distress and not being polluted by the world? Is that what came into your mind? Yeah, I'm guessing probably not. Why does James say something that is so different from the way we think today? Well, part of the answer of that is, and we say it all the time here at Black Hawk Church, the Bible is not written to us, it's written for us. I stole that phrase years ago from a professor at Wheaton College named John Walton. The Bible's not written to us, but for us. And sometimes we remind the audiences of that by poking up like a Hebrew or a Greek word. So that's why I had that word thraiskia up there. To remind you, he's not writing R-E-L-I. He wrote thraiskia. So in his world, what does thraiskia mean? Well, it's not about a pair of jeans. Thraiskia is this: ritual acts that display commitment to God. In James's world in the first century, it was very religious in terms of thraiskia. You couldn't go anywhere without smelling, seeing, or hearing the sounds of religion. It was everywhere. It's about sacrifices that you would offer to a god. The reason we're having good weather today has to do, in the first century, it would have to do with the gods. The gods are behind everything. So you have bad weather. It's not because there is like a cold front moving through. And the meteorology, you guys, is pretty relatively recent science, okay? They didn't think that term. They thought gods are behind everything. And if you want good weather, you need to do some threskia. You need to sacrifice some things, cut some things up, do some kinds. It's bells and whistles kind of thing. In their world, religion was the kind of stuff that you do to please the gods. And I'm not sure if we're very far away from that in our world today either. That's when because when I said the word religion, you probably didn't think of what James was talking about. In our world, religion is about, well, what you're doing now. Religion is about going to church. It's about going to the synagogue. It's about doing something religious. You're doing something religious now. You're reading your Bible now. It's religious. James does not think that way. To James, this is what true religion is. True religion is not what happens in here. It's what happens out there. Why don't you everybody say that phrase with me? All sites and venues, everybody online, say that. True religion is not what happens in here, it's what happens out there. What is true religion? That's what we're going to talk about today. What is true religion? It's about transformation and it's about mission. It's about transformation, it's about the struggle with sin that we all have, it's about a new birth, and it's about doing the word. That's transformation. And it's also about mission, living out the character of Jesus. True religion, to James, this is James being James, it's a punch in the gut. It's not what you think it is. It's different. It's not about what we're doing now. It's about what you do after the message is over and you go walk in the world today. That's what true religion is all about. That's what we're going to talk about. So take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 1. This is the third in a 9-part series as we're going through the book of James. Pastor Matt started out the book of James a few weeks ago, recited the entire book. Oh my, he did that. Okay, wow. That was very, very cool. And this challenged us to memorize that little, those first couple of verses in the first chapter of James. And then last week, Pastor Charles has a very creative metaphor about this app. Do you remember this app? We put this on the screen last week, the Kingdom Values Conversion app. So remember, it's not a real app, so don't go to the App Store and try to find that. We just kind of invented it. Kingdom Values Conversion app, it's designed for Christ followers living in exile. So you take something in the world, the trials usually cause depression in people. So no. In the Kingdom Values Conversion app, you put trials and tribulations in us, and that should actually produce, what did Pastor Charles say last week, or James? It should actually produce joy in us, actually. It produces joy because it gives us an opportunity for the character of Jesus to kind of actually kick in. He's going, oh my gosh, this is kind of different. It's the same thing with religion. So the world thinks of religion as bells and whistles and what you're doing now and going to church and stuff like that. No. You put that in the Kingdom Values Conversion app, and it's not really about that. It's about taking care of people who are in distress, and it's about being completely different from the rest of the world, not being polluted by the world. Your life has been transformed. Does that mean that we don't sin anymore? No. We still struggle with sin, and that's James 1:13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by Satan. No, it doesn't say that, does it? Whoa. What does it say? They're dragged away by what? Their own evil desire. When I ask you what, you can participate in the message. Their own evil desire, epithumia, and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived. It doesn't come from God. Don't blame God. It can come from Satan. Don't be deceived. Yeah. It comes from here. It's here. Everybody look at me. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Look at me. There is a struggle going on inside of my heart right now. There is a struggle. It's a battle, actually. Between, like, two different natures warring inside of me right now. I've said this before, but if you knew me the way I know me, you would say, what is he doing up there? Why are you? Because I've got sin lurking inside of me all the time. Maybe not so much right now, because I'm actually thinking about this talk. But it's not far from being, in James's language, birthed inside. Doesn't take much. It can basically be born inside of me. Let me illustrate. And that's funny, isn't it? Not only, welcome to Black Hawk. Pastors don't just talk about sin. They say, here, watch me sin right now. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. That'll probably make the internet run. Okay, here we go. Right. I've got, let's say, let's just make this up. I got a $1 bill right here. Let's say that I put it on the table. Table's here. There's no one in the room. Nobody's in the room. And services are all over, and nobody's in the room. You know, about an hour after everything's over, yeah, nobody's in the room. And I see a dollar bill laying on a table. I walk by that, and I see it's laying on the table. And, well, nothing really happens inside of me that's wrong. I'm just thinking, oh, somebody left a dollar. Oh, okay. And maybe I'll pick it up, take it to the info center, maybe put it in one of the boxes. Nothing really happens inside of me with $1. Now, let's say I see one of these, a 20. And I'm thinking, oh, somebody's missing a 20. And I'm looking around, I don't see anybody. What do I do with that 20? I'd probably take it to the info center, maybe put it in a box. Probably not going to put it in my pocket. Just saying. Let's say I see a Ben Franklin. It's just laying on the table. All of a sudden, what's going on inside of me? Whoa, 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 whoa. That's not George Washington. Whoa. These are kind of rare. I don't see many of these around. What's happening? All of a sudden, you guys follow me? You follow me? Something just boom, boom. See, that's what James is talking about. Something was just conceived because of a desire that I have. A desire for wealth, conceived. Boom. Maybe I should. All of a sudden, I'm looking around. I wonder if those cameras work all the time. You guys follow me? Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's, that's okay. Whatever, take it to the info center. Maybe I see a stack of hundreds. I see 100 Ben Franklins there. I don't actually have this laying around in my house, so I didn't bring in a stack of hundreds. But if you saw $10,000 laying, you follow where sin comes from? That's what I'm trying to illustrate here. The desire, boom. I have a desire, and all of a sudden, something is birthed inside of me that says, that should be mine. And if that continues to grow, that leads to my departure from God. It's actually, he says, it leads to death. I think that's like spiritual death, that kind of thing. I'm just like moving away from God completely. That's how sin is born. So transformation doesn't mean that I am completely done with the sin struggle. I still struggle with sin. See, I mean, we should do a survey right now. How many of us are believers and we have no struggle with sin? Raise your hand. I mean, like who's? We all struggle with sin. James goes on. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, logo aletheos, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. So what is this birth through the word of truth? This is part of transformation process. I struggle with sin, but I have been born through the word of truth. What is this logo aletheos? What's he referring to? Scholars debate about what he's actually referring to here. I believe that he's actually referring to like the gospel, the good news about the fact that the Messiah has come, he's been born, he lived a life that none of us could live, he died a death that only he could die, to die for our sins. I placed my faith in him, I'm then entered into the family of God, and I wait for him to come back one day. This is the gospel. Paul refers to this logo aletheos as the gospel in Ephesians. Paul writes this, and you also were included in Christ Jesus when you heard the message of truth, real close, logon te aletheos, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. When you believed, when I believed for the first time, that's when I was a teenager. And I don't exactly remember when exactly it happened, but when I was a teenager, that's when it started to make sense to me, and then I believed, and I kind of transferred my trust to Christ, him alone. And when that happened, when I was a teenager, honestly, I kind of thought that that would lead, the struggle that I have with sin would go away. I actually thought that. And I think partly my church kind of taught that. Because then if you got involved in sin again, then you lost your salvation in the church that I went to, then you had to get saved again. And then I had friends that were saved 10, 15 times. Because you'd struggle, boom, come back. But the struggle is part of the process. It's part of the process. We're always struggling with sin, even though we have been born again. James continues as he talks about the struggle. My dear brothers and sisters, see again, he's talking to the family members here, people in the family. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Anybody struggle with anger? Raise your hand. You don't have to do that. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. You struggle with anger? Yeah, you're not producing the kind of righteousness that God actually desires. Live in concert with the word that's how you were born, and the word that God has planted in you. Actually live in concert with that so that you're not giving way to anger all the time. How do you do that, Pastor Chris? How do you do that? Well, James, just basically punches you in the gut and says, just do it. Do the work. That's what he says next. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. What's transformation? What is true religion to James? Transformation is about you struggle with sin, there is a new birth, but you're doing the word. You're doing the word. Whoa, let's stop. Whoa. So what is happening right now? Whoa. Right now, you're listening to the word. We're not doing it. Whoa, it's danger. Danger. Hey, wouldn't that be cool? You know, outside of all of our venues, we should put entering the sanctuary, danger. Because all of a sudden you come in here and you listen to the word and you're going, hey, I'm religious. Hey, I'm listening to the word. Check. I'm doing the Christian thing. I'm listening to the Bible. No. James says, punch in the gut. No. It's about doing it, not just listening. How you guys doing? Anybody mad at me yet? He says it's like this. It's like a mirror. See, it's like a mirror. Look what he says here. Oh, do not listen to it. Just so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Put the verse up that says it looks like a mirror. Looks at his face like it's in a, like you're looking in a mirror. So I'm looking in a mirror. Here we go. Looking in a mirror. Is that a zit? No. Too old for that. So you look at the mirror, and the mirror is telling me something. You know, like if I had spinach in my teeth or something like that, I look in the mirror and I go, oh, it's telling me, hey, idiot, let's put that out. But sometimes we come and listen to the word, and the word tells us, but then we don't do it. And then we deceive ourselves. James refers to the mirror as the perfect law that gives freedom. See that? The perfect law that gives freedom. What's that? I think he's referring to the Mosaic code that is kind of translated and applied to our lives by the words of Jesus. I think that's the perfect law that gives freedom. Laws can bring freedom in our lives if we live by them. I mean, you know, you don't want a lawless world. There's no freedom there. The traffic laws give us freedom so that we can commute safely. The perfect law, if we do it, it gives us freedom to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. So let's say I look at the mirror, and the mirror says, you know you have a struggle with alcohol. You know, when you go to a wedding reception, you know, there's all this free booze. And you know you have a struggle with that, but you don't tell anybody, and you just get drunk, and that's not right. You're not doing the word. You know what it says, but you're not doing it. Or let's say that I have a problem with anger. And I don't really confess that to anybody. I just go, that's the way I am. I'm wired that way. Hey, you're not really doing the word, because that kind of behavior doesn't lead to the righteousness that God wants to see coming out of your life. Or let's just say I struggle with lust. And I go, you know what? I can't tell anybody about that because, hey, wow, can't tell anybody about that. But then I know from the word that that's a problem. But what's happening is that I'm deceiving myself. And my house is going to crumble. You know, the words of Jesus. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man who builds his house upon the... When I do that, you can participate in the message. Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice will be like a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. And the rains came down and the streams rose and the winds blew against that house and it beat against that house, but that house stood because it had its foundation on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the... And the rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against that house, and that house fell with a great crash. Because as his younger brother will say, we were deceived. Do not merely listen to the words, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. How you doing? Danger, danger, danger. You're listening to the Bible. Danger, danger, danger. You think, whoa, I'm religious. No, 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 no. You could be very deceived right now. Are you doing what it says? Because true religion is not about what happens in here. It's about what happens out there. What is religion? What is true religion? It's about transformation. Even though I struggle with sin, I am born again, but I need to do the word, and it's about mission, leading out the character of Jesus. True religion is this. It's not what happens in here, you guys. It's what happens out there. So the mission of Jesus. Well, he's pretty clear about that in the last part of James chapter 1. So he writes this. Those who consider themselves religious, and cut other people down with their language, or cuss. They don't keep a tight rein on their tongues. They deceive themselves. Their religion is, what's it say? It's worthless. It's worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Keep a tight rein on your tongue has the idea of bridling the tongue. And James, with these last verses in James chapter 1, is setting up the rest of the book, actually. And so what he's going to do there, and talk about the tongue, there's a whole section in chapter 3 that he's going to do that. Pastor Tiffany Malloy is going to talk about that in a few weeks, and I don't want to take away any of her thunder. That's a powerful message you need to hear, James chapter 3. And he goes on then to talk about what's true religion from God's perspective is pure and faultless, is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Why would he say orphans and widows? Well, back in his day, very patriarchal world back in his day. If you didn't have a man in your world, so an orphan wouldn't have a father, and a widow wouldn't have a husband. If you didn't have a man in your world, you were in distress real fast, real fast. In a patriarchal world, that was just the way it was. And God's heart bleeds for people who are in great distress. That's basically, you could just take orphans and widows out and just put people who are in great distress. Economic distress, emotional distress, justice distress. Deuteronomy, we read, God says this, he defends the cause of the fatherless, the widow, and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing, and you are to love those who are foreigners, for you yourselves were foreigners in Egypt. So people who are in distress, immigrants are in distress, orphans are in distress, widows are in distress. What is true religion? I care about that. I do something about that. I see distress, I'm on it. That's pure and faultless to God. It's not about bells and whistles, religious acts into the sanctuary. It's seeing people who need help, and we go, boom, I'm on that. Why? It's the character of Jesus. Is what Jesus will do. Duh. What else was Jesus about? Not just caring about justice, but also not being polluted by the world. See what James says? To keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Sometimes I hear people talk about do justice, be concerned about, but yet they're not concerned about the fact that they're being polluted by the world with all kinds of other things that they see and watch and do and act. That's also part of it. It's both and. It's not one or the other. It's being concerned about what happens here, on this thing, and what I take in from this thing. So am I being polluted by the world, by this thing? Well, I should just get rid of this thing. Well, that's probably not a practical illustration. I mean, a preacher could stand up and say that, but none of you are going to actually do it. But am I monitoring this? Somebody helping me monitor what I... Because this thing, whoa, this can help me become polluted real fast. So it's not just about justice. It's about morality. Am I living the kind of life that Jesus would want me to live? And James has got a lot to say about that. I wish I could go into the next chapter right now, but I will not do that. That's for next week. So what have I been trying to say today? Here's what I've been trying to say right here. Say this with me. True religion is not what happens in here.
Yeah.
What happens in here? This is like an athletic metaphor. This is like a locker room. It's a locker room. This is not where the game is being played. This is a locker room, and the pastors are like, we're like coaches. We're trying to encourage you. But don't think that this is where the game is being played. The game is being played out there. And all of our games in Madison are on a wave field. We play the game in a world where people want us to fail. They want us to be in the penalty box. They want us to drop the ball. That's where the game is played. Right here, we're just getting coaching about how to really live our lives. That's what true religion is about. It's not checking a box, went to church today, read the Bible today, listened to a podcast today. That's not true religion. True religion is saying, I have a problem with alcohol, and I'm tired of just talking about it. I'm going to start doing the word. That's true religion. True religion is, I know I have a problem with anger, and I'm not just going to say, that's the way I'm wired. I'm going to actually do something about that. True religion is, I know I have a lust problem, but you know what? Doesn't everybody have a lust problem? It's okay. No, true religion is about actually doing something about that. True religion is not just seeing the problems that we have in the world, seeing the distress that is out there, it's actually doing something about that. True religion, from James's perspective, sounds to us like a punch in the gut, because we live in a world where religion is all about this right here. And that is not religion from James's perspective. It's about knowing who Jesus is, saying that he's my Lord, and living my life according to the way Jesus wants me to live my life. Being a follower of Christ means that I'm a follower of Christ. That is true religion. True religion is not about what I do in here. It's about what I do out there. And when people see me and my life, you, and your life, they say, they are not like anybody I know. They are different. That is faith in action. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us as we all struggle with sin. That we would take inventory on our life and by the power of your Spirit. And I know he was working in this talk. Because I know he was touching hearts and minds. When I would get to a certain place, the Spirit would go, boom. Now help us, Father, to take that boom in our own hearts and do something with it. Tell a friend, have a conversation, and by the power of your Spirit who lives within us, to grow towards Christ and to be changed. We pray this in Jesus' name. And because so many people are watching us, for the sake of his reputation, all God's people said.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus.
That Chris just talked about. So let's sing those out almost as a prayer that they would be true of us, that when the rain comes, our lives would be built on a firm foundation. Let's sing it together. Rain came. Oh,
Amen. True religion is not about what happens in here. It's about what happens out there. Amen. Let's be people, like that song reminds us, people who build our lives on the rock because he won't fail. As we close today, there are prayer folks who are available to pray with you. If you'd like that, they'll be right over here. I'll be up here. Chris Kopp will be up here. If you wanted to talk to Pastor Chris about his message, he'll be out in the atrium, and so you can find him out there. As we go today, and we're going to use those words that we've been memorizing from the first chapter of James. So we'll put them up on the screen here. You'll know if I'm not quite there because I'll probably have to turn around. And so we'll see how that goes. But if you need them, let's look up there. If you don't, go ahead and just close your eyes and let's read this out together. All right. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. All right, have a great rest of your day. Go in peace.